columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Can we be there?
God, we are here.
Just think of the time.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Heart and love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing, Brandon Stokely?
Man, I'm doing good. You sound like you're doing great.
Man, I'm doing so good. Doing so good.
Had a good morning. You up early?
Had
kid duty.
Yeah,
kid duty today.
Yep. I was up early. Had a great morning. Wife hooked me up with a great lunch on the way out. She cooked bacon just to put on the sandwich. That's how you know. That's a real one. You're a real MVP.
That's right. That's a real MVP. I just actually just text my wife, so we'll see if I get delivered any lunch or not.
Okay. You text her from downstairs to upstairs?
Yep.
That's very 2020 of you.
Yep. Just sent the text because she ate my breakfast sandwich that I usually, because I cook breakfast on the weekends usually. And so I made up some breakfast the other day, and I have leftover sausage, sometimes some bacon and eggs, and then I usually eat that for my lunch on Monday. And sure enough, this morning she grabs it and eats it. I'm like, "Are you kidding me right now? That's my lunch there that I planned on eating for lunch, and that's my routine." And so hopefully we'll see. Hopefully I'll get something else.
All right. So we'll keep track of that big time story there. Developing story.
Yes.
had a just. I'll tell you this. I probably had the best weekend since quarantine. I did the most, and it felt like I was like living life in the fast lane. Really, I was just doing like rudimentary stuff. But it was our anniversary, our fifth anniversary. So it's kind of a signature benchmark. After, you know, your first is like your fifth. And so we went out to dinner for the first time. And we went to Shanahan's. And it was my first time there. You know, you take too much money out of your pocket to do something like that. But it was definitely worth it. You're only going to have that once. And life is short. So we went to Shanahan's, got a babysitter, and had a great night out. Saturday, we went to a cookout for a couple hours in one of our friends' backyard. And then yesterday, we had just a blast of a day with you and your wife and Carson, and just had just an amazing day. We never have not put our son down for a nap. And yesterday was the first time. He was knocked out on the way home. He had so much fun. So just an awesome weekend, Stoke.
Yeah, that was fun yesterday. I really enjoyed that. So seeing, you know, your son Owen, and how big he's gotten, I hadn't seen him in a while. So that was a fun day, hanging out by the pool at Colorado Golf Club, and it was awesome hanging out with the Kelloggs and all those guys over there. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of kids out there going down the slide, throwing the football to them. We had a little Steve Young there, a little 9-10-year-old looked like Steve Young, dropping back and throwing the rock all over the place. But that was great. I just didn't know when you got there if you thought I meant that we were going to be playing pickup basketball game. You know, you had your mesh shorts on, you had two shirts on, you had your jersey underneath there, and I was like, goodness, did he think we were going to be playing a pickup basketball game here? I thought, I said, cool.
Hanging out with a cutoff, you know?
But you ended up shedding one of the shirts, you had the jersey on. I almost pulled you in the pool, and your wife and my wife were kind of setting it up, but you had your phone in your pocket the whole time, and you wouldn't get in the pool, and you're standing there. They got your phone out, and I was about to pull you in, and I was like, man, I'm not going to do that, because what if something else is in his other pocket or something?
There was something else in my other pocket.
Oh, was there?
There was. I can't say on the air what it is, but there was something else in my other pocket.
Well, then I'm glad. See, I'm glad I didn't do that.
I'm glad. I don't go in the water. Like, and this is something that you learned about me yesterday. Like, I'm not a water person. I don't go in the water. If I'm in the water once a year, like, I hit my quota.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for your son, Carson, there's no way I would have gotten the water yesterday.
Well, that was great. You ended up going down the slide.
I did.
Did you catch one?
I knew you were going to get here.
What do you mean?
Go ahead and share a detail that you want to share right now.
I don't even remember, honestly.
There's a reason why I could not catch the football. So here's the skinny, guys. There's this awesome freaking 100-foot zigzag slide at Stokely's Country Club that goes into the water, and it gushes water the whole time. You can go 100 miles per hour down this thing. Dude, I was scared for you yesterday. I thought you were going to come up out of it. I'm not kidding. On the last slope, you are riding the side of it. I thought you were going to come right out of it.
I had some speed coming down.
Dude, you were flying. And your buddy is Matt Kellogg, who I got to meet yesterday. It seems like a great guy. He's throwing these footballs as you're coming down the slide, and he's doing it to everyone. So all the kids are coming down, and adults, and just the same, and they're trying to catch this football. But I can't do it because now go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know what you get. I forgot.
I will just go ahead and out myself because I don't care. I'm too old
what?
To care. I plug my nose when I go underwater.
Oh, that's right. The nose plug. That's right. That's what I wanted to get to. Yes, the nose plug. That's right. That's what you said. You said, well, it's going to be hard for me to catch the ball because when I come down the slide, I got to plug my nose. And oh, my gosh. I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you really just say that
yes.
right now?
And I just want to get out in front
of
it.
Your nose.
No.
Just blow out.
Like
you blow out when you go under the water. I mean, you're not five anymore.
Nope.
So we started looking around to see if there was any used like nose plugs we could put on Zach so he could, you know, actually, you know, participate in the game and catch the football, not have to like try to catch it one hand when he's plugging his nose.
I'm
coming off the slide.
I'm trying to secure it with two, high and tight it with one, and then plug it with my other,
and
I just could not figure it out.
That was great. That was a great day. It was a great weekend. Hopefully everybody had a great fourth. I know that I had a blast yesterday, and the fourth was fun, and so hopefully everybody enjoyed it. We had a long one, you know, off Thursday, Friday, so it was a four-day one, so it felt good to get up today and get a workout in. I had to get a workout in. I had to sweat and just, I mean, I ate too many cookies and too much food. So it was good to get a good workout in, get a sweat in, and I feel good. I'm ready to rock and roll today.
Yep. And I'm already seeing this on the text line.
Oh,
I knew.
Gosh.
And my buddy Tommy's texting me. I
forgot about the nose plug. I wasn't even, I just totally forgot. I'm glad that you brought that up.
Zach, you are one weird dude afraid of water.
and I had to look, you know, being a good partner of yours, so I was sitting on the chair at one point for a couple minutes and in the shade, and I saw you over there by your son, just about, you know, 20 yards away, and with my wife and my kid, they're all over there by the kiddie pool and stuff, and I was seeing the back of your neck, man. It was getting toasty, and I was like, man, I bet my man Zach, and you know, your pale skin that you got, I was like, I bet my man Zach didn't even put any suntan
sunblock on. That's another thing about me, and I'm not trying, this is not a macho thing, it's just a thing that I want to make clear, because overexposure to sun in your skin can lead to serious stuff. I just don't put sunscreen on.
Not good. You got to do it here.
Here's another thing about me that you're going to learn.
Oh.
You've never seen me with my shirt off. I don't take my shirt off. So I don't feel the need to like lather up because I don't take my shirt. I was in the pool yesterday. I wore a jersey.
You wore your jersey. Your 1994 Saskatchewan number 21 jersey.
That was my college jersey.
Your college jersey.
Yeah,
that was a cool jersey. I like that one. That was a good looking jersey.
It's a nice one.
So in the pool he had the jersey on.
Yep.
We'll just get that out there.
So
too. Anyway,
so just a couple things. I don't take my shirt off. I don't go in the pool. And when I do, I have to plug my nose.
Oh my gosh, you're not helping yourself.
So,
right now. You just keep just. You're not helping yourself right now. It's getting deeper and deeper for you.
Yep, I just.
But you still got to spray it on your arms and your face stuff, Zach.
I
mean, I had a buddy just a couple weeks ago, had to go in and get some skin, removed from his face, a few spots.
Yeah. No, it's a serious thing.
Just because your shirt, you know, you got other spots. But I just saw your neck was getting bright red.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I got to go help my guy out.
He's you saved me a little bit today. Cause,
so I sprayed you up a little bit,
like
a good partner.
You did. Good teammate.
Yep,
great weekend.
Let's just go over this real quick.
Yes.
Zach plugs his nose when he goes in the water coming down the slide.
That's correct.
You won't take your shirt off. You wore your jersey in the pool.
That's correct.
And you don't put sunscreen on.
That's right.
Wow.
Got all that right.
All right. Bam. Unbelievable.
And Vinny's helped me out. I'm with you. I used nose plugs. Yeah, no, I.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm not alone. I can swim. As Shane says, well, what color were Zach's floaties? Oh my goodness. Well, the thing is, so let's just go here. Okay, so there's a reason for this. My mom was a very, like, Christian woman, like, very modest, very Christian. I think I've shared this once on the air before.
Yeah, I think so.
She wears skirts. She doesn't wear, you know, like, shorts. She doesn't cut her hair. There's a, like, verse in the Bible that says a woman's hair is holy. Okay, so she doesn't cut her hair. Okay. So I don't live like that, but I was raised like that by her. And she would, and she says that, you know, she regrets doing this, but she would say, hey, look, you guys can go swimming, but keep a shirt on. Why you would do that, I don't know. Okay. So that's certainly not something that I would do, but that's the way my mom is. She would have us wear a shirt at the pool. I think part of my defense mechanism for wearing a shirt was that I just wouldn't go in the water because I don't want to be in the pool with a shirt on. So I just wouldn't go in the water. And so I just never, we didn't have a pool. None of my friends had pools. We lived in a community where it was very tight and all the houses close together. No one, people don't have pools in their backyard and stuff. So I just wasn't around water. So I just, you know, just not around water. So I not used to being in the water. So here I am, 33 years old, and I just don't go in the water. So, yeah, that's how we got here. And there was another thing, and I'll just go here in the psychiatrist chair here, and I told you this yesterday. We skipped school my senior year. It was senior skip day. And all the kids swam out to this dock. This is a true story. All the kids swam out to this dock, and it looked like it was about, you know, 25 yards away.
You're not making it up.
No.
I don't think you have to preface it with it's a true story.
Yeah, no, but...
Are all your other stories not true? Are you going to preface everyone by saying it's a true story now? Or it's not true? How do we...
Cut his mic, please. With water, things can be deceptive with the length of how far things are away. So it looked like it was 20 yards away. So I can swim. I'm not a great swimmer, and it looked like a very attainable. I was 6'3". You know, I wasn't drinking. I was in great shape, about to be a college athlete. And so I said, yeah, I can swim out there. And I went to go swim out there. And in reality, once I got like 3/4 of the way, I'm like, this is way longer than I thought. And I started to get muscle spasms in my legs. And I started to fully cramp up in the water. Dude, I thought I was going to drown. I cannot be more emphatic about that. I thought I was going to drown. I was in a lake I'd never been, and I was just in a rough spot. And at the time, I was taking a sabbatical from cursing. Now,
a sabbatical from cursing? Okay.
Yes. So I hadn't cursed in like a year, literally. And I was raised by my father was a sailor, and so it's just kind of whatever. But all my friends knew that at the time, that I was not cursing. And it had been over a year. And I was in the water, fully cramping up, and I legitimately thought I was going to drown. And I screamed out to my friend, Dan Rourke and Matt Falso. Steven, you're going to have to clip this and send it to me. But I screamed out. I said, I'm not effing kidding. And the look on their face, they jumped off the dock, back in the water, and brought me to the dock.
Both just kind of scooped you up and literally just swam and just held you up?
Stoke, in the most literal sense, they saved me, I believe, with every ounce of me. Had I been alone on that day or not been as clear that I was in serious trouble, because you look at me, you wouldn't have thought, like, if everyone else could do it, why wouldn't Zach be able to do it? You would think I'd be one of the leaders of the pack, but I was not a good swimmer. So that was a seriously traumatic moment for me. So I never put myself in a position like that ever again. So it's just a bad association with water.
Yeah. You just don't get along with water. From the nose plugs to the... Maybe we can get you one of those like tight swimming shirts that have the things in them, you know, to just like where if you fall into the pool, you'll be good to go.
Oh, right? My
you know,
gosh.
It's just going to keep you afloat.
If I was like a
shirt on, so it's like perfect.
If I was like a superhero, that would be like what you would kill me with. Just like throw some water on me.
Water. Okay,
oh,
there we go.
Oh, my God.
There we go. Love it.
Did you see the report? I'm going to try to get this back on the tracks here, and I take full responsibility for this horrific segment. But
I think it's been great. One of our best of all time.
Okay.
Here. We've learned
submit
a lot
this
about
for
you.
One
a
of
lot
the
of
CBAs.
Good stuff.
Submit this one.
Yes.
Did you see Cecil's tweet from 10:48 a.m. that he says team sources tell him the Raiders have extended an offer to Jadeveon Clowney? Two or three other teams have better offers. John Gruden, in all caps, really wants him.
Ooh.
But Mike Mayock and Davis are standing pat for now. Gruden would like to up the offer. Interesting for Broncos if Clowney winds up in the AFC West.
Wow. No, I didn't see it. I'm looking at it right now. Very, very interesting. Wow. Yeah, that would be a huge move for the Raiders if they could get a guy like that and put him on their defensive front. I think, you know, there's a few guys still available, and I think I'm trying to think he's probably the guy the top of the list right now of guys available that could make a big impact. That could, you know, win you a game or two this year. He's got that type of talent, and when you're talking about pass rushers getting after the quarterback, this guy is as good as it gets. I mean, he could be a game changer on the defensive front. And so, obviously, for us, if you're looking at the Raiders and being in the AFC West, yeah, that would be a big deal for the Denver Broncos.
It would be. He is a man, when that guy's right, and he had a little bit of a slow start to his career, if my memory serves right. He just never – was he the number one pick coming out of South Carolina?
Yes.
I think he was the top pick, right?
Yes.
He was like the presumptive number one pick even during the season. And I remember the hoopla there, like, you know, is he, you know, should he just, I remember the conversation, should he even play it down? You know, should he just shut it down? He's already going to be the number one pick. But he, when he is right, he's turned into one of the most disruptive defensive players up front that the league has to offer. And I think I'm with you. I think that'd be, you know, the one thing that the Raiders haven't been able to do since dealing Mac is really get to the quarterback. It's one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to getting to the QB, when it comes to total sacks. And he could go a long way in changing those numbers because of he's such a great player, but he also is going to attract attention, which could, you know, free other guys up.
Right, and they got a nice young pass rusher and the kid from like Western Michigan, I forgot his name. He was a rookie last year. I think he had double-digit sacks, if I'm not mistaken. So they got a nice pass rusher there on the outside.
That's right. What's his name?
He's got the nickname on Hard Knocks. I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. They got Cleveland Farrell in the interior.
Max Crosby. Is it Max Crosby? Yes, Max Crosby.
Okay, yes. Okay, sorry. Mad Max.
Mad Max, that's right.
And so I think he had double-digit sacks last year.
He did,
rookie,
you're right. You're right.
And then they have interior. They got Cleveland Farrell, a top five pick or whatever he was last year also.
Yep.
And so you add another dynamic pass rusher on the opposite side there. Now you have the makeup of a really nice front. And so they're trying to win now. They know what's at stake there in Oakland, you know, Gruden's third year. So if they could pull off a move like that, I think it would be a big-time move for them. And certainly if you're the Broncos, and we know our offensive line situation, you would rather that not happen.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're, you know, when we look at the Raiders and the Broncos, you can hear people go back and forth who people think has the better roster, who's going in the better direction, who's got the better trajectory. And I think you and I both agree that it's the Broncos. But if it is as close as some would like it to believe, and by the way, the Denver Broncos have not beat the Raiders, they have not swept the Raiders, I think, back to 2014, if I have that right. So the Raiders have found a way to beat the Denver Broncos for years in a row here. So it's not like, even though we're optimistic about the Broncos, it's not like they're like unequivocally better than the Raiders right now. We can be hopeful and optimistic. But a move like that, that could really, if you think that the Broncos are ahead, it could bring them neck and neck. If you think they're neck and neck, it could bring the Raiders to, you know, edge out them for their total roster. He's that good of a player. So I think we got to keep our eye on this one here.
Yeah, look, we play them twice a year. And like you said, I mean, it's the Chiefs in this division, and it's everybody else. So,
well said.
It could go either way. I mean, it could go Chargers at two. It wouldn't shock me. Would it shock you?
No.
If the L.A. Chargers were the second place team in that division, would it shock you?
Absolutely not. Especially if they have a really good game manager who doesn't turn the football over in Tyrod Taylor. If they play the kid, then they're probably going to have some bumps in the road, the same way they were expecting the Broncos to have some bumps. But if they play Tyrod Taylor, we got to remember that Tyrod Taylor was a starting quarterback for a playoff team in just 2017. He's not that far removed from it. He's cautious with the football. Coaches like him because he's not risky. And the Chargers have a roster that is terrific enough where you can win a lot of games with Tyrod as the quarterback because he's not doing all the heavy lifting.
That's right. And on the flip side there, it wouldn't shock, I don't think, either one of us if the Raiders ended up being second place. And if they, and obviously if they make a move like this, that just helps them.
You know what? It's not the craziest thing. They have a quarterback that, although he's not, you know, God's gift to mankind, Derek Carr, we've seen them win games with Derek Carr. It wasn't too long ago. They were 12-4, right, and he was an MVP candidate.
That's right.
The guy's played, what, 70 NFL football games?
Third year, same system now with Gruden.
Good point.
A lot of those draft picks that they got from Khalil Mack deal now, those guys are, you know, in their second, third year. So that roster is a lot better than what it was a couple years ago.
Shout out to everyone already on the RamosLaw.com text line. You guys are hilarious reacting to our water segment. So hit us up if you want to react to or be a part of our show, 303-713-1043. Stoke, this what we're about to do, all right? And everyone has got to pay close attention. You can't miss this segment coming up. It's a mental exercise that every Broncos fan should do when it comes to Drew Lock. And it's a simple question. How many quarterbacks on the Broncos' schedule is Drew Lock unequivocally better than? That's next. Man, it's so good to be back. You know, there's that phrase, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And we got Thursday and Friday off, and that was great. I mean, I'll take that 10 times out of 10, obviously. But after, you know, a couple days, I'm like, you know, I was really looking forward, even though it was just 2 days off, really looking forward to get back here and do the show and hang out with our listeners. And so really glad to be back. And by the way, let me just throw this out there before we get to this quarterback conversation. So good to see live basketball back on television. The basketball tournament with the $1 million prize. They've been doing this for years, and it was back. So there, you know, it wasn't perfect. Teams had to withdraw because of COVID, and we're going to see some of that, I think, with the NBA. But you're seeing that it can be pulled off to a certain degree. And it was just so fun to watch live competitive basketball over the weekend, Stoke.
Yeah, it can be pulled off, but let's see if it's sustainable. You know, you can start it, but let's see how long it can last for.
And that's the question right there.
That is the question. Yes, we know we can start things up and get things going, but will they be sustainable? Will they last? And so I think that's the fear for me, is that these things are going to start up and it's just going to crumble and it's just going to be not good. So we'll see. Hopefully it is, and hopefully they'll figure it out and find ways to make it last. But I'm not very optimistic about it right now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That adds another element of how closely I will be watching the basketball tournament pull this off. You know, and I think other leagues will have their eye on that because it's the first because, you know, basketball is not a socially distant sport. It's not NASCAR. It's not golf. It's hoops. You know, you're grinding for rebounds and coming off screens and, you know, trying to punch people's shots and all that. I'll be watching this bubble format very closely. And it's,
are they in a bubble?
They are. They are in a bubble.
Where,
I think in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh,
I believe. It's definitely in Ohio. It's either Columbus or Canton or something like that. But they are pulling it off again. It's not perfect. You know, if one member of your team has COVID, the whole team has to withdraw. So they're
really.
It's very heavy handed that way.
One member gets it, everybody's got to withdraw.
That's right. And you come to the game. How about this, Stoke? You come to the game with your bags packed. And if you lose, you go right home. That's it.
Huh.
So okay. It's very interesting.
How long does it last?
Not very long. I think it's like a week. It's single elimination.
Oh, okay, cool.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Right.
But it's awesome. And the only requirement is you can't be a current NBA player. So Joe Johnson, who doesn't remember Joe Johnson? Great isolation scorer for the Brooklyn Nets and the Atlanta Hawks. Great scorer. He's playing in the tournament. Jarrett Jack, you remember him from Georgia Tech? Just a dog. Just a flat-out freaking dog. He's playing in it. So Jimmer Fredette has played in the past. So it's
your
guys,
guy.
My guy. It's guys that you remember from college. Like, I watched Purdue. I remember the big old 7'2" Haas guy. I watched him for 4 years. I watched him play yesterday. Remember Isaiah Austin from Baylor with the one eye? I watched him match up against Haas. I mean, so it's been such a fun weekend of watching that. There'll be another game tonight on ESPN. It's really cool. It's a $1 million prize. So a lot on the line. And, as a hoops guy, I'm just thrilled that we're getting back to seeing, live basketball. Okay. Stoke, how many quarterbacks on the Broncos schedule can you say confidently are better than Drew Lock, or is Drew Lock better than them? All right. I have the schedule pulled up here with the starting quarterbacks.
Okay.
All right. And we can just go through one at a time.
How many Drew Lock is better than?
Yep. I like it. Ryan Tannehill.
Give me Drew Lock.
Give you Drew Lock, okay.
Yeah, for me, give me Drew Lock. I like the upside. I like the potential. And, there's something there, with Ryan Tannehill. He started off his career. He had a good year or so. We saw him here in Denver just shred the Broncos, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever it was. And then he got paid, and he just kind of never was that quarterback. And then, had a resurgence last year. But I'm just not sold on Ryan Tannehill. I would rather take the unknown in the 5 games that I've seen from Drew Lock and the upside there over a guy like Ryan Tannehill. So that's why I chose Drew Lock over Ryan Tannehill.
So let me ask you a separate question for this season. If it was just about this season and not about a trajectory or anything like that or a career, if it was just about this season, would you pick Drew Lock over Ryan Tannehill?
Just about this year.
Yep, which is a separate exercise from what we're doing.
Right, which, I don't really like this new exercise. I was preparing for the old exercise.
Okay.
Now you want to throw wrinkles in there. And
You know what? We can stay on task.
No, I can answer the question. Okay. Zach, just give me a second here to just, I want to... I'm going to stick with Drew Lock, and I know it's just this 1 year, and Drew's going to have some ups and downs, and I just think that the ceiling is there for Ryan Tannehill, and I'm not a big believer that he's going to wow you, and I'm just not a big believer in Ryan Tannehill.
I think that nearly everyone would answer the question the way you did up until last season. I think last season was sort of like a revival in his career. I mean,
He did play well.
He wasn't even the starter. I mean, when the Tennessee Titans came to Denver, the starting quarterback was Marcus Mariota. By the end of the game, it was Ryan Tannehill. Then you fast forward, he's in the AFC Championship game. I mean, or was he in the championship game?
Yeah.
He was.
He was in the AFC Championship game.
They beat the
with
Patriots.
With the lead. Beat the Patriots and the Ravens.
I cannot believe they beat the Ravens.
Almost beat and had the Chiefs on the ropes. I don't want to say almost beat them, but had them on the ropes.
Yeah, they had a double-digit lead that game. So let's continue here. Big Ben or Drew Lock?
I'm taking Big Ben.
Okay. That's week two. We get to week three. It's the Tampa Bay Bucs and it's Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm taking Tom Brady.
Okay. What about Sam Darnold, week four, New York Jets?
I really do like Sam Darnold. I've always liked Sam Darnold. I'm going to take Sam Darnold.
You're going to take Sam?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, that's a tough one. Statistically, I don't think Sam Darnold has been all that. I saw Bill Barnwell from ESPN really carved him up in a recent piece last week. But Sam Darnold, you look at his season a year ago. He played nearly the whole season. Okay, he played 13 out of 16 games.
He had that mono episode. Let's not forget that.
Yes, he did. He did.
Thank you, Tom.
Just unload it. What else?
That was like a peck.
Okay.
What do I get?
Sam Darnold a year ago averaged 237 yards per game. He had 19 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions. If Drew Lock goes out and has a season where he's averaging 237 yards a game, doesn't get to 20 touchdowns, and he throws 13 picks,
We'd want more.
Okay. All right. So you're still going with Sam. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sam. I don't know. I've always kind of liked him, and we'll see what it looks like. I mean, this is a big year for him, obviously, a make-or-break year for him. He's going into his third year. He needs to play well. Last year, you know, they're kind of revamping that team, got a new coach in Gase, and so they're trying to, you know, get that thing going back in the right direction. They've done some good things, but what is it going to look like this year? He needs to go out this year, second year in this offense, and play well, play better. Had the mono last year, I think, early in the season, you know, when you're trying to learn an offense and all these different things that you have, all of a sudden you get sick like that.
It totally derails you.
So, but I'm still going with Sam Darnold.
And a part of the Sam Darnold bigger picture is, you know, also a lack of weapons. You know, they may have had the worst receiving core in the league last year. They did not have a receiver even hit 900 yards.
Yeah.
Or a tight end, by the way. Their leading tight end was Ryan Griffin for 320 yards. That's sort of what the Broncos were looking at until they drafted Noah Fant. So Jamison Crowder was the leading receiver on their football team. And no disrespect to Jamison Crowder, but if he's your leading receiver, you know, not great. So, you know, we'll see. They drafted Denzel Mims, I believe, in the first round from Baylor. So
Second round.
Yeah. They drafted the tackle first round. Okay, Cam Newton or Drew Lock, week five.
So this is, you know, and the same thing with Brady. I mean, we're going just on this next year. We're going on the next 3 or 4 years. Or like, how are we doing this exercise here for, you know, who would I rather have? Who's better?
Let's do two to three years. Is that fair? 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. This is a tough one for me when you look at Cam Newton, because obviously the last 2 years he's had injuries. You look at the shoulder, you look at the throwing issues that he's had. He just looks like he was beat up the last couple years. I mean, he took a pounding and it looked like it was showing up. Had the foot surgery, had the shoulder surgery. You know, I know he's a former MVP, but man, you know, That was 2013. That's a long time ago. I mean, I was still playing then.
I think it was 15. He won MVP.
15. Yeah. Okay, well, then it wasn't 13. Sorry. Yeah, it was 15. It was the Super Bowl year. So a couple years after I stopped playing. That's a long time ago in football life. I mean, that's a ton of years, a long time ago. So
And hold on. Before you answer, I'm going to be really unfair here, okay? I am going to change the rules on the fly.
Okay.
And it's coming from one of our texters, and I think that this was the original intent of the conversation. He said, hey, guys, it'd be more interesting if you just said, if you had these two starters to win the game, who do you pick this year on the schedule?
Okay.
And I like that.
That's fine.
So who would you pick? Cam Newton or Drew Lock?
Everything still stays the same for me.
Okay.
Everything. All my other answers have stayed the same. So Cam Newton or Drew Lock this year. Give me Drew Lock. I'm gonna go Drew Lock over Cam Newton. I just don't like what I've seen from him the last couple years. I don't know what I'm going to get from him. His throwing issues were a huge concern. His inaccuracy, I've watched him a lot, and it was just, like, baffling some of the times to watch him throw the football. I don't know. Maybe he comes back, he's completely healthy, and he's throwing the ball like he did 5 years ago. Then, okay, I made the wrong choice there. But I'm just going off of kind of what I've seen from him, and it hasn't looked pretty here the last year and a half.
Week six, who would you take to start that game if you had your choice? Tua or Drew Lock?
Wow. Just give me a guy I've seen play five games and look pretty good. So I'm gonna go Drew Lock.
Okay, you're gonna go Drew. Okay, that's the second time. Tannehill and Tua so far. If you were to pick, this is gonna be a tough one. Drew Lock or Patrick Mahomes?
I go back and forth. I'm going to give a slight edge to Mahomes here. Okay. So I'll go Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Week nine, who would you have start that game if you had your choice of the two? Drew Lock or Matt Ryan?
I got to take Matt Ryan.
You got to. This is a tough one.
Guy's a MVP. Didn't he win the MVP?
He did.
He did. MVP
2017.
Threw for over 5,000 yards last year, I believe. So.
Yes. And by the way, the rumors of Matt Ryan's demise have been greatly exaggerated, if I could quote the poet. The guy threw 4,500.
What poet is that?
I think it was the rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. Oh, my goodness. Give me a second. It'll come to me.
Somebody on the RamosLaw.com text line will help you out. Van Gogh?
Dickens? No, Van Gogh was a painter.
Oh.
Stephen, the rumors of my demise. Mark Twain. Who could forget? Matt Ryan, a season ago, threw 26 touchdowns. That was near the league lead. We looked at it the other day, right? It wasn't like the league leader was like 29 or 30 touchdowns. I think it was Lamar Jackson. So right there. And then the year before that, I mean, Matt Ryan statistically. But the Falcons, like, if I ask a question like, who are the Falcons to 10 different people, you get 10 different answers. I just don't think they have an identity as a club. And the first word that would come to me is soft. It's just not, you know, but I'm not throwing dirt on Matt Ryan's grave, though. I mean, the guy still plays at a high level, and I agree with you. I go with Matt Ryan. Who would you rather have in Week 10 or Week 17? For those games, if you had your choice, Drew Locke or Derek Carr?
Give me Drew Locke.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not – I put Derek Carr kind of in the same category as Ryan Tannehill. I'm just not a huge, huge believer or there's just something about those guys. I'd rather our guy here.
Okay.
And I know Derek Carr's played for longer, and he's won more games and all these things, but there's just kind of something about him that I think I don't love. And I think in certain situations I would rather have a guy like Drew Locke and his mentality and how he plays over a guy, especially in the clutch and the crunch time, over a guy like Derek Carr.
I think I'm going to disagree with you here, and okay. I know Broncos country won't like to hear this from me, but I think that Derek Carr's.
I didn't know you were such a big Derek Carr fan.
Don't do that. And I no, knew you were going to do this.
No, go ahead.
I think the narrative about Derek Carr is a little bit exaggerated too. I think if Drew Locke showed up next year and threw for over 4,000 yards and nearly had a 3-to-1 interception ratio and completed 70% of his passes, people would be streaking through town. That's what Derek Carr did a year ago. Derek Carr has been an MVP candidate. Derek Carr has been a starting quarterback of a 12-and-4 team. A year ago, he threw for over 4,000 yards, completed 70% of his passes, and had 21 touchdowns and just 8 interceptions. I mean,
Look, I'm just telling you what my eyes told me when I watched him play, and I just don't love Derek Carr.
What did your eyes tell you when he came to Denver and nearly set the all-time NFL completion record?
When was that?
It was last year. He threw for 21 of 22 passes, I think it was.
Oh, told me that they lost.
All right.
That's what my eyes told me. They lost.
All right. I
think too, stats, when you look at certain stats, you know, if you're behind a lot of games, you know, when are you getting this yardage? And but obviously, look, some good stats there. But what my eyes tell me when I watch him is that I just prefer a guy like Drew Locke.
Okay.
I just think in the end, Drew Locke, I would rather have him quarterbacking me right now than Derek Carr.
Well, I want to make this clear. If we were talking about, like, if we went back to the initial exercise with when I said over the next 3 years, I think I would take Locke too. But with this specific exercise about starting a particular game, Derek Carr has played 94 NFL football games. I just haven't seen enough of Drew yet. I really like what I see, but with real conviction to take him if, like, my life was on the line over Derek Carr right now. And maybe by week 17, where the Broncos will close out with the Raiders, maybe I'm singing a different tune because
yeah,
I would
not
have
gonna
seen.
We're not going to let you change. We're not going to let you jump back on the choo choo chugga chugga Drew.
No,
you're on Derek Carr's right now.
No,
you're driving his car. We're in the train. That's fine, Zach.
Don't do that to me.
I'm doing it. I have to. You picked your side. You're Derek Carr guy, and we're not letting you back on the train anymore.
Dude, I'm just trying to be objective and where I'm at now, and hopefully that's the best part about life. You can change your mind with more information, and hopefully I am singing a different tune by week 17.
Hopefully so.
And by
hopefully
the way, so. I think that I will be. But from where I sit right now on July 6th.
Man, you're giving yourself a lot of outs here. You're just like kind of trying to just wiggle out of this little hole that you put yourself in here.
Well, It's what I do.
Yes.
Who would you rather?
Doing it well.
Who would you rather have in week 11 and week 16? Drew Lock or Tyrod Taylor?
I'm taking Drew Lock. Okay. I'm taking Drew Lock.
I think I'm with you on that one.
And I do like Tyrod Taylor. You're right. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, I mean, he led a team to the playoffs. This guy is a capable quarterback, and he can game manage. He can make plays with his feet. And so I'm not down on Tyrod Taylor. I actually like Tyrod Taylor better than some of these other quarterbacks and believe that he could win your football game. So, but I like our guy a little bit better.
You know, yeah, and I'm with you there. But Tyrod, man, if like the Broncos could ever get Tyrod Taylor as a backup, he might be the league's best backup. If Herbert does in fact start, he's just a freaking pro, man. He's just a pro.
Well, you forgot about Slaughter. You forgot about Chad Kelly. So maybe third.
Okay, I'll reconsider. Yeah, who would you rather have, Drew Lock or Drew Brees? Week 12.
I'm taking Drew Brees.
Okay. Who would you rather have week 14 to start that football game? Man, this is a good one. Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy came in and did some good things last year.
Yeah, undefeated when he was
there. We haven't seen a ton of him. It's almost like, over the last course of a couple years, we haven't seen him play a ton of football. I don't know how many games he played last year.
He played five games.
Okay.
I should say he started five. He played in nine, but you know how they get kind of, you know, with that offense, they include him sometimes. But, yeah, he started five games.
I'm going to take Drew Lock. I'm going to go with Drew Lock there. I know the more veteran quarterbacks, Bridgewater. I'm going to go Drew Lock. I look at Bridgewater more as a game manager. I don't think that he's got a huge ceiling, but he's a solid NFL quarterback. I'm going with the guy with the bigger upside this year, and that for me is Drew Lock.
I like that. I like that, Stoke. And Teddy Bridgewater never really like set the league on fire or anything. Now, I know he had a great record when he was the starter of record back in 2015. I think he was on like a 11-5 football team there in Minnesota. But even that season, he threw 14 total touchdowns, nine picks. His first year, 14 total touchdowns, 12 picks. His time in Minnesota, and hopefully Jameis can recapture some of this, his time in New Orleans, was the best football he's ever played in that five games. That's the best football he has ever played. Nine touchdowns, just two interceptions. It was the highest completion percentage of his career with 68. But before that, you know, I know, and I've heard Cecil say this over, you know, he's smart and he's accurate. He just doesn't throw a lot of touchdowns, and he throws a little bit more picks than he'd like to.
Right, so, and you know, I think he got overpaid by the Panthers, but we'll see. He got a huge deal over there. But you look at his, like you said, he threw nine touchdowns in five games with a really good offense. It wasn't like he was setting the world on fire.
No.
But he won the games, stepped in, did a good job. So good for him. I mean, I think we've all pulled for him after that gruesome injury he had in training camp.
For sure.
Just kind of derailed his career. And so it's great that he was able to recapture and get back in and play football again. I mean, we didn't know if he was going to play football again. And then now to be the guy in Carolina, we'll take a look and see, obviously. And hopefully for him, he plays well. But I would prefer Drew Lock.
Yeah, and for his career, Teddy Bridgewater, 173 yards per game.
Yeah.
That's it. And then finally, who would you rather have to start that specific game, Week 15, Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, or Drew Lock?
I love me some Josh Allen, so I'm taking Josh Allen. That guy's a stud. He's tough, competitor, so I'm going with Josh Allen.
I would do the same. I just haven't seen enough to unseat that guy yet from Drew Lock. All right, Stoke, there is a lot up in the air for this 2020 NFL season. But is there a major factor that hasn't been talked about really at all? Take a dive into it next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.